One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Today's episode of Don't Make Me Come Back There is brought to you by EveryPlate, America's best value meal kit. Stay tuned for a special offer for our backseaters from EveryPlate. Get more bites for your buck at EveryPlate.com. Hey everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian, the host of the aforementioned podcast, and across from me is my lovely wife, Melissa Nickerson, here in the, this would be the...
dining room.
I know what room we're in. I'm trying to figure out the direction. Let's see, because we are in the due south. This is the further. I'm sitting in the furthest south, southern point of our property here on this part. This is in our kitchen. This is our studio / kitchen table. We've moved into the kitchen area today,
yes.
aside from our normal studio, which is the southwest corner of our bedroom. We're out here because our kids are asleep.
Yes.
And I'm about to leave for the road. And Melissa so aptly reminded me, hey, we have to record one of these. So here we are, and all the zeal and enthusiasm that you would expect. Thank
Absolutely.
You for tuning into our little podcast, everybody. We're so happy to backseaters. Welcome back. It's just an honor and a privilege to be your podcast host and the driver of this little vehicle. And if this is your first time, thanks. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
You're in for a treat.
Whoever shared this episode to you, whichever like gem of a friend was like, you need to listen to this.
Yeah.
What a great friend. And you're lucky to have them.
Super good friend.
And we're lucky to have you. So thank you for tuning in, everybody. Today on Don't Make Me Come Back There, we are going to discuss the question, easily the question that we get the most as a couple, which is how do you deal with Dustin being gone all the time?
And I would say that I don't really get asked any questions.
So right.
The remote chance that I get asked a question, that's it.
That's true. That is, you know, that is interesting. I just assumed that you got that one a lot. Whereas now that I think of it, what I get a lot is, how does your wife do with you being gone all the time?
Well, of course, because you're there, you know,
people
so they ask you.
Talk to me.
But I do kind of joke. I've said before to you, like, you know what it's like to be a stand-up comic's wife? And then I go like, well, no one's ever asked me that. But I'll tell you.
I don't have answers for that. I mean,
every once in a while.
Well, it's less about the... Yeah. Today's episode is not about being a stand-up comedian's wife.
No.
Today's episode is dealing with the travel. This is a question I get a lot.
Yeah.
It's a question you do get a lot. And I will say a couple things. One, Melissa's new lamp that she got in the living room here that we're looking at looks dynamite.
Yeah.
Makes her so happy. Mm-hmm. Melissa just redid.
I love lighting.
You do.
love lighting.
And it's not good lighting
and
in our home.
We don't have a lot of good lighting.
We are currently under an exposed light with a covering over our kitchen light here, which I've never, it's bad. What do they call those things that go over your lamp? It's not a lampshade.
Oh, gosh.
What do they call it? You know, when you're in your kitchen.
A light fixture.
I think the light fixture is the whole thing. But yeah, the part that you have to undo to put the light
on. It's the glass part.
It's the glass part.
The etched
They're
glass.
They're all so bad. They all have like the most random like patterns on them. And the one in our bedroom, our bedroom clearly was a child's room before us because it has like little stars on it.
Yeah. And moons.
Oh, man.
But I did remind you today. It wasn't so much of a reminder, but I told you as I was installing the lamp today, I was like, you know, if you wait long enough, gold comes back.
Right. Exactly.
Well, so now you don't need to change those doorknobs.
We're going
to
talk about travel here shortly, but first off, we're going to talk a little bit about interior design. One thing that my dad, who lives with us, has often said is like our house increasingly just starts to look like what his sister's homes like looked like in like the 70s. Like we have,
or even the 60s. 60s.
Yeah, yeah, like we have globes.
Yeah,
and now gold. And we love mid-century furniture. Yeah. I don't even know if he's going to recognize this place when it came.
He's going to be like, wow.
We've got some new stuff on the wall. We've got a lamp. We've got some sunflowers you're trying to murder. And a crazy twist, I remember the plants.
I know. I need to get some reminders.
Yes.
They're going to die.
Did you set those?
I almost killed the pumpkin.
Yeah.
Like one day.
The pumpkin is having a hard time.
Hot
it's been
day.
So hot.
It's been so hot. Yeah.
Anyways, guys, that was the first thing I was going to say. But the second thing I was going to say is, as is the case with every issue in our marriage, I downplay it.
Yeah.
You overplay it.
Mm-hmm.
You will say, like, I'll say things like, it's not that big of a deal. It could be worse.
Right.
True things. And you'll say things like, well, you're leaving me alone to raise the kids by myself. And I'm like, okay. The truth is, if those statements are a 10, if you say them at a 5, they're true.
They're both kind of true.
That's what I'm saying. A five version of my statement is, hey, there are jobs that travel more than me. Pilots, we live in a military town. You're like, they'll leave for 10
deployment.
Months.
Deployment. Yeah, they've got one on you.
Deployment. And that's a big chunk of the population, you know, like, and you know,
especially in San Diego,
you were raised in that. And there are jobs that work hard hours. There are restaurant workers who work every night. You know, there are hard jobs.
Yeah.
And we've never had a 9-to-5 ever. And a lot of people don't have a 9-to-5. And I've said to you before, that Delta lounge is full. Every time I go in.
Right.
Meaning.
Mm-hmm. With weary travelers.
With weary travelers who are out there with me doing it, you know, and they all, and a lot of time I don't get the upgrade, meaning that there are hundreds of people at any given time. If I'm in a big airport, there are thousands of people who I'm embarrassed. Like I would never even be like, I would never show my status to them because they're like, you peon. You are nothing compared to me. So my statement at a 5 is true, though. And your statement at a 5, which is like, hey, you leave and I have to do everything by myself while you're gone. Absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely true. Are you raising the kids by yourself? No.
No. I think I say different things, but.
You've said that no less than 3 times.
All right.
Maybe the last 3 times that I've left. It gets a little meaner sometimes when we're fighting. You're like, well, you're leaving. And I'm like, okay. So what
we
I'm
wanted
saying,
to make this as truthful as possible, which is why Dustin's leaving tomorrow.
Right. So exactly. We thought, we were like, hey, what's our theme for this week? Because we're trying to do more thematic stuff. And by all means, folks, send us those emails. Let us know. Because we do know, I think of, we have our great listener up in Spokane, Rachel.
Yeah.
Rachel, you know, she's a patron and a wonderful fan. And I know her husband deploys they're a military family. I know we get a lot of military listeners.
Yeah.
So, you know, how you guys deal with it is good. I will just say this. I did one day in Texas in June. I did 3 days in Tacoma in June.
Mm-hmm.
I did nothing in July without you guys. You know, and then I did 3 days in Oklahoma City. This is like a couple weeks ago. This is the first like,
I know.
Here we go. And even that, and then I come home and then I go out for a few more days. But even that one after that's like
I
3 or 4 days.
I counted because it's tomorrow, September 1st. I think, you know, sometimes the travel days are tricky depending on when you get home and, you know, or like you're doing a red eye tomorrow night. You're like, it's like 17 days this month.
Yeah. Well, and 10 of them.
Which is
Excuse
more?
Me, I burped.
Well, it just depends on the month, you know.
Yeah,
like
I think,
spring and fall, or
I think it's 14. I think it's 10 and then a 4. But that's only because we have stuff coming up that we're like, hey, we need to move some stuff. Oh, no, that's not true because yeah. I got the Florida days too.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is like if our work is very seasonal, so I think we come to expect it, but we weren't really expecting it in September because we were thrown around that's not true because when we started throwing around the backyard tour,
we knew it was coming, but it was, you know, like it took a while to finalize.
Right.
Which, you know, it's a pandemic.
Right.
It's the arts, performing arts.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's more.
So we didn't have a. Like leading up time.
Right.
I mean, we had 6 months.
Right.
Of COVID.
Well, that's the thing. Like I've been home so much, which I think makes this one harder.
Yeah.
Now, I have some practice. I think that I'll ask a couple questions and then, you know, we'll see our different answers for you. First question, when into my trip do you kind of click into solo mode? Like
probably like kind of somewhere in the first day.
Somewhere in the first day. You wake up and you wake up and I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow's, this one's a weird one. I'm taking a red eye, which at least I'm feeling pretty good about. I like, cause it's like I get the whole day and if, you know, it's like less people and you know, like if I have to go to Philadelphia and
it takes so long.
I have a 6:30 show in Philadelphia. There's just no way to wake up in Southern California and be ready to go with no problems, you know?
Yeah.
So you say somewhere in the first day.
Yeah, I mean,
normally, go ahead.
I'm just busy, but
right.
Also, you're kind of like, what's this dread or, you know, sadness that you're feeling?
Right.
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 You know?
And I always feel that the night before.
Yeah.
I'm super bummed. And I don't, I go into solo mode the second that I walk into the airport. That's when I'm like, because a lot of time I have to take an Uber and I have to grab my crap. And, well, you know,
if you're waiting for the Uber in the dark.
I went away from
in the rain.
Very rarely do I Uber to the airport anymore. I found like a great online coupon that if I'm gone 3 days or less, it's the same price for me to park there. It makes such a difference. Just psyche-wise.
Or 3 days or more?
3 days or less, it's the same price. Yeah,
okay.
I can park there three nights.
That makes sense.
So psyche-wise, because the ideal is...
You drive your car.
I drive my car, both, like, especially when I have a bunch of crap, and I'm like this time I'm traveling with merch, and the pod stuff, and the camera, and I'm gone 10 days. I'm bringing a lot of crap on this trip.
Yeah, and no Lyft or Uber driver is happy with you.
And they're hard to get right now.
If you have all that stuff.
And you have to add more buffer time because you're like, is there going to be one near in the morning? And so.
Yeah, you can't count on them right now.
Yeah. So getting in your car and as a matter of fact, my last early one, you got up and drove me, which felt so like that's what you did 5 years ago. Not you personally. Shout out to Alan Cison, who is a good friend of ours, who used to drive me to the airport all the time.
Mm-hmm. When you had to get friends.
Exactly. Yeah. But you just, I remember taking my dad to the airport as a kid, like when I first started driving, my dad would be like, I'd have an early flight or something like that. Or my mom or something like that.
Well, because he had to fly standby.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he'd get there. You'd be like, okay, so we got to get up at 2.
Yes.
You know, it's like when I come home from the East Coast, you're like, hi, I'm always
my gosh.
So just so you know, I've been up since 1 your time.
So maybe in a couple years, Joel could drive you to the airport.
Oh, man.
That would be worth the insurance
cost. I used to pick my dad up from the airport. I remember it very vividly. So I started parking there. But even still, it's when I get out of my car and I have all my crap and I'm like, okay, first thing first, if I'm checking bags, I get into work mode as soon as I get to the airport. You know, but that's when sadness kind of stops for me. I'm still bummed.
Okay, because now you're like, I have to work.
I have to work. I'm distracted by being busy. Yours, and I'm tired, and you know, because I never slept well the night before.
Yeah.
You know, but you're saying yours hits you a little bit, like it takes you a little bit more. When kids are in school, is it like you got to get them through drop off and then you come home? Or because this is obviously different.
I mean, sometimes... we text a lot on your travel days,
mm-hmm.
because mostly with Delta, you know, you can text for free in the yeah. air. So that's huge because
so big.
Because, you know, it used to just be like, you know, MIA for, right, you right. know, well, 12 hours or whatever.
People
you know?
Ask a lot about, like, because to me, what your side is intrinsically more interesting than me.
I don't know about that. But.
Well, people ask, well, what I'm doing is more interesting than you, but yeah. how you handle it is more helpful and interesting to people because I'm like staying at hotels and getting ready. Like, yeah. I mean, I'm very
you're eating
good.
Out. And, yeah. I mean,
yeah, I found a cool new coffee spot. You know, you're like, shut up, shut up. But what I was going to say is people ask a lot, like, how you do it. And I was like, well, it's not. I have to do my very best to help and stay out of the way at the same time. Like mm-hmm. to know, because that's why it's good that we have touch points. So if like you give me the schedule, I have to be like, well, don't call in the middle of like your drop offs or stuff. But also try to be available yeah. if you have some mm-hmm. downtime because
right.
the touch points are big, but also like, I don't know. I can't like make, I can't, I just have to remember that what you're doing is so much more stressful than what I'm doing. Usually. I mean, not always.
You have moments.
I'm missing flights and work and
crowds get, are weird.
Yeah. yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Can, yeah, exactly. I got booed off stage. Yeah.
You have stories.
yeah, that's true.
Weather.
Right. Right. But you're
yeah, uncontrollable.
Those yeah. are my things to deal with. Mm-hmm. The family is our thing to deal with. Comedy, our Dustin Dickerson comedy is our thing to deal with. We're working on a project right now that we're working together on yeah. this. The uh-huh. stage is my thing to deal with. Getting to the stage is my thing to deal with. So I try, like, I yeah. try not to drop those burdens
I don't,
on you.
I've given you some like very moderate pep talks.
Right.
But not like
right.
you're in right. a puddle.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I can perform. And literally you've been puking and right. gone on stage.
And you'll give me stuff like that before.
But that's
yeah.
just kind of me in general.
Oklahoma, just so you know, Oklahoma City, I did 5 shows. 2 of the 5 shows, I leaned against that back wall. I don't take your stage notes.
Oh, Dustin.
It was, hey, it fit the vibe. It fit the vibe.
No, but you, yeah, I don't have like artistic, I don't have artistic like final say.
With Not the, on that aspect. With, I mean, shirts and website and pictures and headshots. Yeah. I mean, a million things. You do. Uh-huh. The act is just mine. But you have veto power.
You know what I mean, though.
You can be like, hey, yeah. don't do that
well,
bit.
I don't know if I'm explaining myself well.
Right. But the point is,
I am not like your stage manager right. or like your, right. you know.
What I would say is if producer. You're the traveling spouse, one of the things that I have to try and keep in mind is like what I guess what I'm trying to say is like what's still happening in the home is still my business and how can I help and be supportive to it? Like yeah. I'm still,
it's I'm still the, your family.
I'm the stand-up comedian in the family and those are my booked tickets and that's my hotel that I got to deal with and it's my sleep I have to get. Like those are my things.
Mm-hmm.
Joel's problems while I'm on the road are still my problems.
Yeah.
They're very hard to deal with from the road
mm-hmm.
that you're just like, you know, and I get really discouraged.
They get pretty crazy too sometimes.
They always get really wild when
like,
I'm gone. And
we had a coach. I used to try and go to church and then go to these baseball games on Sundays.
Right, right, right.
But that meant I was usually running late because 3 kids and not knowing where I was going.
Right.
And so the coach would like call you.
Right.
And be like, where's Joel?
Like,
there's no easy way to say this.
I'm in Dayton right now on purpose. I chose to be in Dayton right now. I know it's weird, but I am unhelpful right now. I would always be in the places, I would somehow be in the cities of the minor league teams that were our kids' mascots. So they'd be like, hey, the Mudhens are playing today. And I'm like, well, I'm in actual Toledo.
Yeah.
I know that's strange that this happened somehow.
Or like me giving you play-by-plays during the games.
Yes.
The various games.
Yeah.
And FaceTime sometimes for the at-bats or the videos.
Yeah. And sometimes you would be
I don't know sports. Well, and
sometimes
that well.
I'd be like, okay, tell me about Joel's at-bat or FaceTime. And you're like, listen, I don't know what happened. He's just back in the dugout.
Yeah.
Crying.
Yeah. I'm like, Claire's crying. You know, it's
you're like, okay, so is he on first base crying? Because that means he got beaned. Is he in the dugout crying? No, that means he struck out. Yeah, because you've got all of it to deal with.
Yeah.
So I guess what I would say is for me, a lot of it is just learning to like, I'm like, feel it out. I'm massaging this. Like, okay, are we okay? More here, less here. Yeah. More here, less here. You know, and also one of the, and this is a thing in our marriage in general, like to not take whatever crap you're throwing on me personally.
Yeah, it's just a vent.
It is a vent. Know? And mm-hmm. it feels, and you know, I'm like, well, how can I be better? Or are you unhappy with me? Or do I need to quit? Like I go there immediately. And you're like, no, it's just a hard day.
Right. Yeah. And I have to do the same thing too. Like with the hardest is time zones. You haven't traveled internationally yet. For comedy?
No. Don't insult our Canadian listeners.
Oh, I guess you've been in
Canada?
Yeah.
Some of our best patrons are in Canada. Some of our best mm-hmm. backseaters. Calgary. Yeah. I mean, my bad. Come on, man. My Calgary show was my lights out show. You remember that? I told you about that?
Yes.
I'm mm-hmm. on stage, full power outage. Full power outage. Like 4,000 people. I crushed for like 81 minutes. And then I was like, okay, so I'm done with this. We need to get the lights back on. I got them.
Snowstorms, hurricanes.
Yeah.
Hurricane warnings.
Right.
Everyone's like, it's fine.
Yeah. Maple syrups. There's a new.
Okay.
The
so,
only time I ever puked on a tour bus was in Canada, and it was dark mm-hmm. and rainy and windy, and my stomach was not in a good place and did not have good stuff on it, and it was just it was a problem.
Yeah.
So I have traveled internationally, but
you have
one state north.
Well, I think tour bus is just totally different because if there's a big crew on the bus, then I'm getting like a FaceTime with the group.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is pretty. Hilarious.
Yeah, because then I'm on.
Yeah.
I'm like, listen, I can't. People are going to be like making fun of this.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
And yeah. I mean, we can obviously text or.
Right.
You've done that to me before with Annie. You've been like, say hi to Annie. And I'm like, oh.
Oh, yeah. Hey. Yeah. Annie Downs. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Is it. Is there such a thing when I'm on the road as like me over texting you or does it make you more stressed? Like if I'm just like, hey, I'm doing this or hey, I'm doing like keeping you in the loop?
No.
Because I
am an over communicator. Right.
And I don't take it personally when you don't respond. I just assume you're busy.
I assume I get to it when I get to it. Yes. But I want to get to it because that's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do remember one. Joel had like a doubleheader baseball game on a Saturday.
Right.
And he got stung by a bee and his like hand flared up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you were on the East Coast mm-hmm. and your flight got canceled.
Yes.
And it was like.
Oh, this is when I got stuck in Philly for a few days, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. You're going back.
Mm-hmm.
Hours of text exchanges, like maybe if I could get this here, because you weren't done, you weren't coming home, you still had more work to do, and
I've always said
it was
a
nightmare, and you probably didn't have your Delta status where you could call right into them,
right.
Like you had to, you were at the airport, like negotiating, and it was just a nightmare.
I remember,
so something like that was stressful because
still pretty savvy though. By the way, don't get in the line, call. Or like get in the line while you call because the line is forever. But
and they don't have the same answers sometimes that
the local doesn't have the
person on the phone has.
Can't wait to go back to Philly. Thunderstorms on the
you're
radar.
Just forgetting all the joys of travel.
Right.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So, but yeah, there's definitely been some crises here and for you.
You had your eye injury. That was a whole thing. Didn't I come home early or you wanted me to come home early? I was in Seattle and you're like.
No, I went in and I was like, it's still bothering me. I've had a couple of these like little procedures done.
There was about a year and a half there where our youngest daughter went on like she just went on a
she got my eye
attack
twice.
To your
yeah,
eye.
Yeah, she got my eye twice in a week. and we thought it healed, but it came back.
Yeah.
And I just didn't know how to like lubricate it mm-hmm. and like at night and during the day. And because every ophthalmologist kind of tells you something a little different.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I've seen enough now. I know what I need mm-hmm. to do for my eye.
But I was on the road.
I had a couple procedures done where right. they cut part of my eye off, just the exterior. And
what
I,
a crazy thing
and
to
I
say.
And I was like, you know what? I've got a ride. Mm-hmm. I'll get a ride for tomorrow. Let's do it.
Right.
Because she is very hard to get into.
Oh, yeah.
So,
you just had a friend
yeah,
take
I
you,
just
yeah.
had the procedure done yeah. while you were on the road. And then Joel like made us quesadillas in the microwave.
Adorable.
It's probably 8 or 9. I so was like, good. Let's do it.
Let's see. Yeah, that's a lot of it is just
like. This
isn't
my first rodeo.
A lot of it is just like, hey, we have some good friends. People have given us rides before. People have helped us before.
Yeah.
I also consider this very fortunate that sometimes some of like the craziest stuff happens when I am home. And I find myself like so grateful for that.
I know. That crazy, anytime you are home and yeah. something crazy happens, I'm yeah. like so relieved.
I know. When we had that crazy so woman relieved. Banging at the door like a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Where, so we have Airbnbs, like a couple on our street because, you know, people vacation in San Diego. And yeah. this drunk girl just ended up at our door and mm-hmm. she was like violent and just pounding
yeah, and
on the door.
The police couldn't get there soon enough.
Right.
You know,
right,
we're
exactly.
like, she's trying to get in.
She was threatening to kill the cat, you know. And
we'd the
had
cat was
like,
out there. Yeah.
And we'd had someone like break into our backyard that week before, too. We've yeah. never had anything like that,
no,
but we had
we,
it twice
we've
in a week.
Locks and all that.
Yeah.
But,
and I
yeah.
just remember being like, listen, it sucks that this is happening, but part of me is like, but I'm glad I'm home.
Like she kicked in the metal bottom part of our,
right,
our security
right.
door
and then the yes. police came.
She
and
had like UGG boots on or something.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. She definitely broke her toe.
She was gonna be a weird day the next day.
Yes. Yeah, because she got like fully tied and like constrained, and cops did a good job
yeah.
with her.
Yeah, she was screaming for hours
and hours mm-hmm. and hours. But I will say that if you are going to have a spouse that works the road or a significant other and your kids, like it's we're very, very grateful to have a supporting community. We don't yeah. have any family mm-hmm. in the area. We do have my dad when he stays with us, and that's yeah. nice. Do you prefer mm-hmm. when my dad's here when I'm gone? Or?
I do. Yeah. yeah
just to
I
have
do.
Another adult here, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. If I just need to run out or something. I mean, Joel's 13 now, you know, and yeah. the kids are getting
I know. We dropped
older.
Joel off at a skate park that was 10 minutes away today.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
It felt weird it picking him up. Like, because I
it
went
wasn't and, my finest moment, but yeah. I just did it.
There,
yeah.
That mm-hmm. brings up an interesting. There are times sometimes when I'm on the road where you make a parenting decision.
I know.
Where I'm like, what?
I know.
You did what? And then I also, but I can't, like, I can't be too judgmental.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm like, I mean, I'm not there. I can't help in this scenario right here. And I can't be like, what did you do? And you're like, you're not here. Like, there's no, I just
I know.
Need, I just
you're
need,
just like, you just gasp inside.
I just go, oh, okay. Well, I hope that turns out fine.
I like to tell you afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you just left the girls at an amusement park by themselves. Well, I hope that turns out fine. That's not a real thing that happened. FYI. Just, you know, one thing that I think does help?
What?
Every plate.
Oh, it does.
I think that every plate absolutely does help. I think that, I mean that very genuinely right now. Every yep. plate, because one of the hard things about, you know, me traveling is you have to do everything. As I said to you before, I was like, well, are you looking for, because lately what's been happening is after dinner, I go play with the kids on the trampoline. And you do the dishes.
Yep.
And then they have quiet hour and I play cribbage with Joel. And then I lay the kids down. And during that time, you just disappear for about 2 hours. Nobody sees or hears from mom. And then you reemerge and like start sweeping 2 hours later. But now I'm like, hey, are you excited about doing this all by yourself? And you said yes. That's not true. But one of the things that makes your life easier is every plate, right? Have you guys
yeah,
not familiar
does.
With every plate? Every plate is America's best value meal kit. I know you guys are probably familiar with meal kits at this point.
Mm-hmm. They've been around.
And we've experienced some. We've had friends have some. We've done some other ones before. Every plate's the best of them and it's the cheapest of them.
Yeah.
It's like
it's
the most affordable.
Super
of all.
Affordable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so great. And recipes like take like what, like 30 minutes. Like it's timely. They do it all for you. They give you the cool recipe cards. You're doing mm-hmm. a good, cool thing where you like have the kids like shop, like you
yeah,
have them pick
yeah,
out their
that's
meals.
My, my great thing that I've done is, one, anything that like is not your idea as a mom, like the kids are going to be more prone to like. So they like these recipes because we get three a week and mm-hmm. each kid gets to pick one out.
Which is great.
Three kids, three
and,
recipes.
And sometimes they help you cook them because they're easy mm-hmm. to follow instructions.
Yep. They've got pictures. They're yeah. colorful.
Now the kids are invested into it. We've always said.
And then the kids go, oh, this one's my meal.
Well, and we've always yeah. used the trope, you know, we're not a restaurant. Well, with every plate, we are kind of a restaurant. And I would say most people who are the primary cooks in their home have about a max of 22 dishes.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to just get some like random spaghetti or not random, just the normal spaghetti.
Our whole family is like, what? What was those burgers you made the other day? They were yeah, like,
they
were
had like pepper jack cheese in them.
So good.
And caramelized onions
yeah.
with barbecue sauce in it.
Joel, the girls.
And a garlic butter bun.
The girls told yeah. Joel about him because he missed it that night. And he was like sad that he missed it.
Yeah.
And I think it's because like, listen, Melissa, mom, we love you. We have had chicken tortilla soup.
I don't really make that anymore.
400 times.
But I've made it 400
in
times.
In the 2000, since 2016, we've had it 400 times.
I know. I'm a creature of habit. And I don't think of...
Anytime that somebody in our community...
Homemade meatballs.
Anytime that somebody in our community would have a baby...
I know.
You would make...
We would all eat it for 5 days.
You would make 5 crock pots of chicken tortilla soup. Guys, and not only is it already affordable, as Backseaters, we have a special promo code for you where you get 3 weeks of EveryPlate meals for only $2.99 per meal by going to everyplate.com and entering code DON'TMAKEME3. That's the number 3. Don't make me 3. That's 3 weeks mm-hmm. of EveryPlate meals for only $2.99 per meal by going to everyplate.com and entering code DON'TMAKEME3. No apostrophes, no capitals there. DON'TMAKEME3, the number 3. Every plate, yeah. guys. I'm a big fan.
I think this they made me a better cook.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think the whole family would agree with that. This is like the easiest ad pitch ever because I'm like, no. Good food in your house. It's very cheap. It mm-hmm. was. It's already affordable. See, we're out of the ad window and I'm still singing its praises. That's how you know it's genuine, guys.
Yep.
That's how you know it's genuine right there. okay, so a couple more questions on, you know... do you feel like the kids have gotten used to it and is it hard for them when I'm gone? Or do they just kind of know like, oh no, I have a dad that travels. Excuse me. That echoed
was a huge
so
sneeze.
Much. Well, I know if we're lucky, that'll be the only one.
The kids, yes, they're used to you traveling. Mm-hmm. That's been a part of their lives the last 7 years. You know,
mostly of Claire's whole life.
Claire's whole life.
Yeah. Yeah. Because what they do to me is they're like, oh, I miss you. And then they're like, take one of my stuffed animals because
yeah,
I take the stuffed animals
which is
and
cute
and bring mm-hmm. home some candy.
Yeah. A lot of times you have got candy.
You know, absence mm-hmm. makes the heart grow. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. And there is a moment of my return that is a very nice
the homecoming,
celebratory moment.
Yeah. Is super, super fun. Yeah, though they don't like getting you from the airport at all.
No. As a matter of fact, they mentioned that...
Picking up or dropping off.
I mentioned that they're going to take me tomorrow, and they're like, no!
Yeah. I'm like, excuse me. I'll be like, it's your dad. You need to go pick him up with me.
Right, yeah.
And they're like, no, don't make us.
It is like... Yeah. A 50-minute round trip. It's an hour, right? Like
it's boring if you're just sitting in the car. I mean, it's gorgeous, you know.
It's one of the
harbor view of San Diego.
Nothing cooler than coming home to San Diego. But
yeah,
I feel like
it's only a couple minutes of
do
it.
Do you? I mean, this is me because I'm very existential, and I worry a lot about how our kids will reflect on their childhood. And you're like, I have today to deal with, and, mm-hmm. and you know, and that we balance in that way. Do you, I often worry that like, well, are they going to think that I was this absentee father? I think about this a lot. You know, I think about this every day. Like, and, but then I'm like, no, I don't think kids think that way. I think they just, you know, like if there's 365 days in a year, you know, 150 of them, I play with them on a trampoline. Like they, you know, like there are set memories and, but I'm a little, you know, weighted right now because of quarantine. Because I've been home so much. But
yeah.
Do you ever worry about that?
No, I don't.
No.
My my harder, the stuff that's harder for me is just some of like the weekend family events.
Right.
When 80% of families are hanging out.
Right, right, right.
As a family. But honestly, that does change as the kids get older, which is kind of nice, I guess. Like teens have their own things going on and, you know, not every family is, you know, what, playing a game night or watching a movie together weekend. You know, they're not, what I mean is not every family is hanging out together exclusively.
Right, right.
Every weekend. And, you know, modern families aren't, you know, like it's not that uncommon for there to be a mom and three kids.
There's a lot
over the weekend.
The fall festival usually has one parent, right? Like,
part of it's just kind of that traditional family,
right.
Traditionalism.
Right, right.
You know?
It's invisible in most places.
Yeah.
You know, but it
can creep in and just feel
right.
like we're all acknowledging that you're missing.
Right.
You know?
That's when you feel it the most. And I think at times, like at church, sometimes you feel judged and, you know, mm-hmm. like shame, and that's old stuff. But still, yeah. You know, that can be like, you know, what's there? Melissa, tell me about that shame.
Oh, gosh.
Tell me about, yeah. I had a doctorate in the law. But is it like just being like, when you're like, oh, like, well, how could you choose a career like that? Or why do you let Dustin do this? Or, mm-hmm. yeah, what's going through your head there?
I'm not sure, actually.
Right.
I'm not sure where the shame is coming. When the pandemic started, I definitely was like, well, why did you guys pick this career if it's going to, you know, end during a pandemic?
Right.
But then there's a lot of people who...
Most of the careers ended during the pandemic.
Whose lives have been hugely altered by
impact.
This.
Yeah.
So in some senses, the pandemic has been so big and so life-altering that... Other things, you have to carry. Other things carry less weight.
Right.
They have to.
Yeah.
So, you know what?
Yeah.
Part of it is we're happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like our family's happy, and it's very hard.
Right.
I don't, you know, recommend it for everyone.
Right. But you don't not recommend it for us necessarily.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I think that there are, if there were issues in our marriage, in our family that, you know,
the travel made it worse
or you're just like, or, you know, like I've said that before, travel and comedy, like it doesn't create problems. It makes them worse. You know, like, so if you're fighting a lot or you're feeling distant or somebody's cheating or if there is like a rebellious kid that's causing a lot of, you know, all that stuff is really heightened when somebody leaves because now it's all on you. And I, you know, it's, you know, I'm not looking for any amount of pity, but I will say that then this is like, if you're looking to give sympathy to our family, give 85% of it to Melissa, but give 15% of it to me because there is an amount of like when stuff's happening from a distance, you're like, gosh, I mean, I want to help. I want to be here for this, you know? And it's not like I'm not out there always like feeling sad for myself, but I mean, sometimes I am in OKC. I got really homesick. I was also getting destroyed on the internet. I was like, I want to be home. I'm gonna go.
Every date is off for the rest of the year.
Yeah, all I have is that all happened because I did start canceling stuff. I was texting my agent and I was like, listen, don't let me make an emotional decision right now, but I want to be an author. I just want to be home and I just want to write and then be like, oh, let's have lunch together, everybody. I don't actually want that, but. There is an amount of from a distance that it is like very, very hard that you're just like, especially I think I think I'm less, I feel bummed when I miss the big things, like a good thing, like a game or something. I mean, if our kids have played 100 games, I've been to, thinking 70 of them. I've been to a lot of games.
But they've probably played like 800.
Right. But I'm just doing a percentage there. I've been to
70%.
Exactly. I've been to a lot of games and a lot of practices and a lot of, I remember my buddy Andrew said that about like his dad. And it's like sometimes as a kid, he's like, dude, I just misremember. You know, he's like, I remember my dad being gone. His dad was in radio. And he's just like, I just remember my dad. You know, I brought him. I was like, you missed a lot of games. And he's like, oh, Andrew, like, if you knew how many rainy games that I sat through.
Yeah.
Like, you don't remember.
I think you remember the best and the worst.
Right.
But not the mundane.
When
you grow up, that's not what you remember mundane, from your childhood.
Like, hey, yeah, no, my dad drove me to the game. We went to the game. We came home. You don't remember that, you know?
Yeah.
It is interesting what they remember.
But sometimes it's funny because the kids will just be like, oh, hey. You know, like when you get back.
When I come home. Hey, dad. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they're very casual. Like, all right.
I know.
See you later.
I mean, that's the
when
thing
you leave.
That's the thing that the military gets right is they really make those entries and returns, you know, really, they're more celebrated.
Monumental.
They're big deals, right? They throw parties and stuff, right? They just
come out of
viral
a box.
Videos and they're like, dad, you were in Cincinnati for
it's
4
different.
Days. Don't I know,
it's
of course different. It is. I'm not comparing myself to a soldier. Yes, they are like a lot of the kids know I'm leaving tomorrow, but they, you know, like two of the three thought I was leaving in the morning. And so Joel was like, all right, see you in 10 days. And I was like, all right. I mean, on the one hand, I'm part glad that you're not like despairing.
Yeah.
But I also would like you to be a little less calloused.
Yeah. Or sometimes, you know, we've just had like the funniest FaceTimes with them.
Right.
Where they are like not paying attention.
I was going to ask you that. FaceTimes. Good or bad, help or not help?
They're helpful.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm glad we have them, but
yes.
Sometimes I'm just like laying on the bed like with my hand on my head like with Claire like jumping on me
FaceTimes,
and I'm like
to me are like a total energy killer. I'm just like, but that's cuz I don't like the thing about a phone call is you can walk around and do other stuff. FaceTime
you don't have
you're
to give like your attention.
I don't,
you know,
when we're having conversations right here, I don't stare at your face. I'm usually playing a video game and talking. I can't do that on a FaceTime. I'm giving you more committed attention than I normally do.
Yeah.
And it's not good. Like I'm just like, okay. So like a lot of time you and I'll have a FaceTime on the night before I leave and I just put the phone down and start packing.
Oh, right. When you're coming home.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm just like, I'm going to tidy everything up here.
I know. A FaceTime is a bigger commitment.
It's a big commitment, but it is nice to see the kids. But what's like, to me, like a FaceTime has like a max of like 10, 15 minutes before I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I remember when they were little, they used to like go get the cats and stuff.
Yeah. Or Claire used to like run under beds.
Yes.
You know, and in the, where there's bad reception. Or,
right. Yeah. Claire totally used to run off the phone with
the
phone.
She would grab the phone and run.
I forgot about Claire running off with the phone. That was so
toddlers
funny.
Toddlers and babies are so funny.
Oh, man. Yeah. I forgot about Claire's running. Oh, it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
So, so, so good.
And then sometimes you take the absolute worst screenshots.
Okay. So two things that I love to do. One is I take terrible screenshots of Melissa when we're talking. And you're like, what are you doing? Another thing that I do is when I leave super early in the morning, you know, Melissa has to get up to set the alarm after I leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I always take a selfie. And we mentioned Melissa's eye injury. Melissa puts a cream in her eye.
Yes.
A goop.
An ointment.
An ointment. Yep. So one eye is always closed. You can't open that eye. That thing is so
shut. I'm trying to
keep
that goop in there.
Got
to
keep that goop in there. And it's, I have a collection of probably 100 of these.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be in one of your chapbooks soon.
Yes.
And it's going to be my favorite
thing.
I'm
going to
play it at your funeral.
I used to have a mouth
guard. Those are going to be, when you're supposed to play like all these like nice like pictures, I'm going to show all those and I'm going to be dying, laughing and crying. Because those are my best memories with you, or taking selfies of you. One of the most beautiful women the Lord has ever created, looking awful, but smiling and just be like, yeah, I'll roll with it. I told you that earlier about you that, you know, you've got everything, but you don't act like it. That's nice. That's a very, you know, unlike that girl at that at San Diego today. A girl came in just with all energy, throwing F-bombs around the kids in the dressing room.
She was like,
she was wearing a corset. Okay. She was wearing short,
like
short,
a sheer, red,
right,
corset top.
She
and booty shorts.
She was like, listen,
jean shorts.
You need to get in a burlesque outfit. And they sent her to a Goodwill, and she had 8 minutes to pick out an outfit. So she went and found some child shorts and a corset that looked a little bit like hockey gear. Like, it's not, it was the worst. And I was like, this is not an outdoor outfit.
So she marches back to the back of this surf shop.
I was here buying flannels. As
apparel
I
shop.
Yeah.
And she looks at me and the three kids who are like sitting down playing Pokemon Go.
Right.
So they don't get in people's way.
Totally.
Because it's busy.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes like, oh, are you going to open the dressing room for me?
Yeah, she's like, are you guys in charge of the dressing room? I was like, the wife and husband and three children?
Yeah, you were wearing like a shirt that you had obviously just put on.
It was not a shirt. That she had worn from the store.
No. You were wearing like a shirt from the store that you were trying on.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, can somebody, like, she basically.
Well, what am I? She said, well, what the F? And I was like, well,
she was pretty much just demanding that we take care of this. And I was like, you know what? We need to get you in and out of here. And I was like, I think no one's in the second stall. Don't quote me on that.
You went to help her.
And honestly, I had to help two people in the dressing room.
Right.
The dressing room wasn't.
Bobby wasn't helpful.
They weren't helping.
Bobby wasn't helpful. But you know what? But I gave him Bobby's name up front.
Wow.
Above and beyond. Gave him the sale. I gave him above and beyond.
Maybe he'll get better because of that.
I hope so.
Yeah.
But you know what? Everybody's struggling right now. So Bobby.
He needed that.
Bobby needed a win. Okay.
Anyway.
Back on topic. What are some closing overarching thoughts? Like, okay. So people go, Melissa, how do you deal with it? Do you have practical tips, or do you have because I think the overarching thing is like, hey, we're happy. Like, this is a hard thing that we do, but we're a happy family. And so we just kind of make it work. But maybe there's some more practical things or some bigger takeaways.
Well, when Dustin started traveling, he was working at his day job.
Yes.
And we had like a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
Claire was like a toddler or a baby. She was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I've had opportunities to like do certain like work things and stuff, I couldn't work 40 hours a week in an office.
No.
You had an opportunity
that we declined to go back to the graphic design world.
There's been a couple.
There hasn't been that many. Let's not get carried away.
Oh, stop. Not that I was looking for them.
They were coming to you.
It's just, there's been a couple times where I've been like, I'll never see you.
Right.
If I work until 4 or 5,
right,
Monday through Friday,
right,
I won't see you.
Right. Our kids are going to get raised by extended care.
Yeah. Right. And I'm going to be even more stressed out.
Right.
Because I enjoy being with you and hanging out with you.
We get this business to run together.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is, as the business has, you know, grown besides COVID, I really enjoy being a part of it.
Being the CFO, a part of it. You're like running it. Shut up. You're not like...
Well, it's like creative and collaborative.
Yeah.
But then... And it's fun. I mean, who doesn't want to go to live arts performances?
Right.
Like, I love that stuff.
I mean, every once in a while, I have to tell you like, all right, chill out.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah. Anyways,
It's a very nice way of saying that you manage the books while I go bombing bars for 4 nights a week. But
yeah,
it is.
That's what I told Taylor.
I've always thought of it. The analogy is like a tightrope.
Really original.
It's very original. It's like a tightrope and like enjoying the view.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Comes with a breathtaking view.
Yeah. You know, exactly.
I've only watched that movie about 40 times with Claire.
Like, I always just am like, well, like, don't you want to get away? No, that's the other song. We could turn into the Greatest Showman musical real quick here. But
yeah,
guys, again, as always, we like to hear from you guys. Other practical tips, overarching things. I will say this when we have, again, I'll say this again. If there are hard things in your relationship, in your marriage, that travel is going to make them a lot worse. Other than that, I think that travel, it's a bummer that I miss things, but no parent sees everything. And yeah, we are modeling for our kids what we hope is a family business and us investing in each other. And also like, hey, you can make, I say the opposite on stage, but my life is the opposite. Like, if you've got the dream and the drive, you can make it work, you know, but it takes both the dream and the drive. And
absolutely. Yeah.
And in things like this, it is.
And the talent.
Well, I don't think I have the talent. I think I had the drive. I had the, like, I got good at it and I found the way. Like, I'm not the most naturally gifted comedian.
That's true.
Know?
I think you're a good writer, though.
That's nice of you to say.
A talented writer.
I think there's a million better comedians out there than me, like, and yeah, who started before me and after. I'm, you know, it's the old adage, like, I'm not talented enough to not work hard. Like, I can't.
Yeah, you can't coast.
I can't
yeah.
not prepare. I can't not just diligently go after things. I can't not, you know, write jokes at 1 a.m. I can't not, you know, do over 300 sets a year. Like, I don't have an option. And I tell you that a lot. Yeah. Like, you know, like, that's part of the reason that the family sacrifices the way they do. Like, if I was better at this, then I wouldn't have to do it as well. But I think that, you know, the kids get that. And, you know, I think one of the hard things to me is I don't always like talking to the kids about comedy. Because it feels like a little bit like radio interviews, because they'll be like, why did you start comedy, dad? I was like, okay, I have to give you an honest answer here, you know, or like, who's your favorite comedian, dad? And then they'll be like, Fluffy. And I'm like, oh gosh, I don't have time to unpack this.
I do think that they actually have to field more questions at school than I do.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's true too.
I think
too.
That both the teachers and the students.
Well, the teachers are fans. That's fun. Mm-hmm. The teachers like come to shows. Yeah. Like our first grade teacher has gone to some of our shows, and I was like, I think you might have picked our kid for that reason. You know, but
well, I requested her, but yeah.
Yeah. I have good rapport with the teachers too. The ones that are, and we joke, and they, once kind of the cat got out of the bag of what I did, you know, like, like the little local comedian, because they're like, what are you doing at these schools? I was like, well, I'm not that big yet. Otherwise, no, I'd still be here. But guys, do send us emails at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Do check out our Patreon at patreon.com/don'tmakemecomebackthere to, you know, give a little more and get a little more out of the podcast. Did you have something to say?
Yeah. What about reviews on app reviews?
Always leave us 5-star reviews.
App reviews, podcast reviews
on the
they
podcast
app. They don't have to
app.
Be funny. But do leave them.
Yeah, funny is great. Or like we've said before, if you haven't left one before, you can just say, Melissa said this didn't have to be funny. And then I'll look that up and I'll share it on my Instagram. Guys, thank you so much for tuning into this podcast. We appreciate you guys so much. Have a great week. Do I have any other last parting words on that? I don't think so.
Can't think of anything.
Okay, Melissa, give them a sign off.
All right.
Perfect.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks for listening to that episode, everybody. I wanted to give a special shout out to our designated drivers. That is our highest level of patrons. Demarius Diaz-Stevens, Troy Meacham, Dave Hoagland, and Rachel Jakewith. Really appreciate your support of the podcast. If you have not already, please like and subscribe and share. Backseaters, you mean the world to us. Thanks so much for tuning in.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable Pocket Hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.